Hey there, Pastor Ben here, continuing our study through the book of Galatians. Today we'll be in Galatians chapter 5, verses 7 through 12. Last time we saw that Paul is beginning to set up his grand final argument of what truly salvation means and the freedom that we have in Christ because of it. And in today's passage we see probably some of the strongest language, not only up to this point in the letter, but I think perhaps in any of the New Testament letters from Paul, as he is dealing with the Jewish believers in Galatia who are attempting to put on legalistic tendencies onto the Gentile believers, specifically around the issue of circumcision, although we know that is not the only issue that's going on, but it is the one that's being highlighted several times throughout this letter. So let's read together, starting in verse 7. You were running well. Who prevented you from being persuaded regarding the truth? This persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole batch of dough. I myself am persuaded in the Lord you will not accept any other view, but whoever it is that is confusing you will pay the penalty. Now, brothers and sisters, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. I wish those who are disturbing you might also let themselves be mutilated. Now, right here in this first verse, Paul has an important statement that we need to hear. He says, you were running well. This is not to be taken lightly, because he's saying, hey, you had a good thing going. You were understanding, you were learning, you were growing. The teachings that you had early on were solid and you were following them. And then something happened, right? Who prevented you from being persuaded regarding the truth? And so we see that there is a person or a group that he is pointing out with this idea of who. Right, it's not that they just magically veered off course or got distracted, and also seems to imply that it's not someone outside of the church, but it's people within. It's someone who's who is just got the teachings wrong and is perhaps the loud voice in a sea of early young believers and them not knowing, okay, what's truth and what's not. We also see, as he says in verse 8, this persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. So he's reminding them, pointing them back to Jesus. He is the one that calls all believers to himself, not a man, not a message, but Jesus himself is the one that calls us into his family, into the new life that we have with him. And then we see this analogy in verse 9, a little leaven leavens the whole batch of dough. Now for the Jewish believers at the time, they would have understood when a rabbi used the idea of leaven that there would be a negative connotation with it typically, perhaps stemming back from their time in Israel, or their time in Egypt, where they had to have unleavened bread. And so the reminder of leavened bread versus unleavened bread always at least comes with that idea of salvation in that moment. It's also interesting, if you've ever cooked and used yeast, used leaven, that you don't need a whole lot. You know, you need a couple of tablespoons and all of a sudden you have 8 or 10 huge loaves of bread by the end of it if you let the dough rise. So he's saying it only takes a little bit to get off course for it to become a big problem. And so he's showing them very clearly, and he's going to continue to hammer home. This might seem like a side issue or a small issue or something, but no, it really is. Even this issue with circumcision is going to blossom into something much bigger if you don't get a handle on how this works. And then in verse 10 we have a nice reminder to the believers that they're not just hopeless, they're not just stupid or totally misguided and without any hope, because Paul says, I myself am persuaded in the Lord, you will not accept any other view. So he's putting forth a confidence that in parts due to the letter that he's writing, and in parts whenever he has the chance, or him or anyone that he might be able to send has the chance to meet with them, that they will agree with the conclusion that Paul has already presented time and time again in this letter. And then he says, but whoever it is that is confusing you will pay the penalty. So just reminding them again, it doesn't matter the status of that person, doesn't matter if they are well the most well-regarded or the most knowledgeable or whatever it is that they might be, but to pervert the gospel in this way is not something that will be taken lightly by Paul and neither by God, right? And then he goes on to say, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? He's sort of using the opposite argument of, okay, so if you're upset that the circumcision group is getting this negative treatment, then explain to me why I'm also getting this negative treatment, even though I am not doing so. He's sort of making an opposite argument. And then he says, in that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. So it's the idea that legalism takes away the glory of the cross because it takes the focus off of Jesus and his work and puts it back on man and our ability to do, to keep the law, to behave in a way that brings us closer to God. And that is certainly not the case. There also may have been people who didn't understand Paul saying, oh, circumcision is not important, but you had Timothy circumcised. And in that case, in that situation, it was more to do with Timothy being able to reach better the unsaved Jewish population. And so taking away that barrier, it wasn't about, oh, Timothy needs to be closer to God, and so we're going to do this. It was not of that at all. And so Paul is again, always defending that it's the gospel and the gospel alone that saves. And then, in the very last bit of this section, he says, I wish those who are disturbing you might also let themselves be mutilated. Now, very, very strong language. The Greek word here is really emasculate, and so we have to understand that Paul is not doing this to be lewd or crude or just taking things to the extreme. What he's really pointing to is the pagan practice of castration. And the thoughts behind that is, for those who would go through with that, they would have a closer connection to God because they would have less earthly distraction. And so Paul's saying, well, if you're Judaizers, if you're saying that circumcision is going to get you closer to God, why not just take the next step and do what the pagans do, and then you'll be really close to God. Again, is clearly not how it works, but this is how upset Paul is, because he's trying to show them just how important it is that legalism doesn't become the way of life for these believers. It's not just a matter of preference or opinion, but he's saying legalism totally gets you away from the true pursuit of the Lord. And so as we consider our lives, we have to be careful not to let the ways of the world dictate for us our approach to God, that we base what we do out of God's word, not out of the latest fad of whatever it might be to get into a Zen place through drug use, or to just take bits and pieces of God's word and apply them like patchwork to the different parts of our lives. We have to make sure that we're taking that step back and aiming our hearts and our minds based on the truth, on the authority of the full counsel of God's word, and letting that be our guiding approach. And so as we consider our own pursuit, we ask ourselves, are we running well? Have we been running well? Is there something that's gotten in our way that's caused us to stumble or get off track? And what can we do to keep that pursuit of a holy living, the pursuit of Jesus in our daily life, in the mundane, ordinary, in the difficult, in the celebration, whatever it is that we're going through? How do we keep ourselves on the path of righteousness through faith, working through love? And where is it that we might need to guard ourselves or shore ourselves up? These are all things that, as we continue through the rest of chapter 5 and look at the fruit of the Spirit and the works of the flesh, we'll be able to understand more just what it means to, as Paul says, run well, and what it is that persuades us and distracts us and disturbs us, as verse 12 says, from really truly living out a life that pursues Christ.